Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome back to the worst year ever. That would be 2020, because it's not yet 2021, which I'm sure will find out a way to be a worst year in a number of ways. I'm Robert Evans. My guest today, Katie Stoll, Cody Johnston. This is the second time we're recording this introduction. I opened it up with blasphemy earlier, and you guys will never get to hear it, which I guess will keep
it's
ISIS off our backs. But
it's my fault.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful blasphemy.
Yeah. Really good blasphemy. Mm-hmm. Very. I'll use it someday in another episode. How are
I'm
you all
very
doing today?
Sorry. I'm feeling a little bad because I ruined our first intro.
I'm livid, Katie.
But here we are. I'm all right.
Medium.
I spent the morning researching healthcare options, and boy, is that depressing.
Don't do that. Wait. Do you live in America? United States
of
America?
I do. I live in
don't do
States
that.
Of America.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Impossible.
Now, Katie, have you tried just taking a shitload of vitamin C?
All options are on the table at this point.
I hear good things about iodine from Alex Jones.
Hydroxychloroquine? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the real key.
I have been on the Screen Actors Guild health insurance plan for a very long time, which is, I'm not going to lie, a wonderful plan, very affordable. And they kicked me off of it for not making enough money during the pandemic, in the middle of a pandemic.
Sure.
We're back to square one. Anyway, that's my sob story.
My recommendation to you, Katie, would be to do the same thing I did, which is I had a years-long under-the-table love affair with Mitch McConnell that has a lot of footage to it that he does not want to get out. I'm not gonna spill the beans on what his kink is, but I'll give you a one-word hint. Spider webs. Anyway, as a result, I do enjoy fantastic congressional health care.
Well, when we're not recording, you're going to have to tell me more about this.
I think all of our listeners should have a multi-year sexual relationship with Mitch McConnell if they too want health care.
I don't fuck with spider webs, though. That's where I draw the line.
Well,
the itsy Mitchy spider? Is that what they call him?
Ew. Yeah.
Not so itsy bitsy, Cody.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
so we have an episode prepared for this week. I wanted to lead off with something just because it started happening today that I think our listeners might be interested in hearing about and helping. There's a family in Portland, the Kinneys. They are an Afro-Indigenous family. They're one of the last Black families left in what has become a very gentrified neighborhood in Portland. On September 9th, Multnomah County sheriffs busted open their door at gunpoint with assault rifles and ordered them to, get their shit out of the house in 30 minutes. Basically, as a result of a shady mortgage case by a borderline criminal bank, they're being evicted to make room for a condo development. It's supposed to be illegal to evict people in the entire state of Oregon right now, but a condo wants to move in, so they're doing it anyway. Their case was still in litigation. Anyway, it's all very, very shady and illegal what is happening to them. Activists in Portland have a 24/7 eviction blockade. 17 of them got arrested the day that we're recording this, slashing cop tires, breaking windows, doing everything they can to keep these people in their homes. A lot of people are putting their bodies on the line during a pandemic to try to help these people.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Cool. Let's do our episode. Sorry.
Let's do our episode.
It just happened. Yeah.
Should we start with the COVID relief package? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to start with yours? Cool.
Let's talk about COVID since a 9/11's worth of people are dying every day right now.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's probably the most pressing thing for everybody's day-to-day life, this COVID relief package and what it entails. You guys are all smart. You don't need me to tell you it's kind of fucked, but I'm here. I'm being paid to be here, so I'm going to tell you that it's kind of fucked. It's now been, I don't know, how many months has it been since we got those direct payments? 8 going on 9 months? You know, that one-time $1,200 pittance to some Americans, not every American. But now
the average rent in America is $1,200 every 8 or 9 months, right?
That should do it. You should be good.
Yeah, that should do it.
If you play your cards right, And if you don't, fuck you. We're almost to the end of the year. Thank God. But the extended unemployment benefits are going to dry up the day after Christmas. The day after Christmas. Eviction.
No, tis the season. What's the problem?
Tis the season. Eviction moratoriums for renters and protections for student borrowers are about to expire. Also, a federal program for paid family leave. So, you know, it's a lot of bad. And the new consensus is that the best course of action would be to tie the stimulus package to the annual spending bill. But that's complicated by the fact that Congress is going into recess at the end of this week. So they're squabbling, and Mitch McConnell's being a ghoul. We'll get into all of that soon. It looks like
Mitch McConnell, but he is such a good dude.
You would think you've got some bias here speaking.
He did. I mean, without
you fuck him
being,
for healthcare.
I fuck him for healthcare. Yes.
Yeah. You made that. So, Just say it out loud.
I fuck Mitch McConnell for healthcare with spider webs. Yes.
No point dancing around it at this point.
No. No, especially since dancing is specifically not his kink.
Whoa.
Don't dance around Mitch McConnell. He does not like that. Sorry, M-bomb. He likes me to call him M-bomb. Mm,
yeah, he does.
M-bomb. Well, M-bomb's holding things up, so it looks like they're going to have to vote on a one-week stopgap to fund the government.
Let's be fair. So is Nancy Pelosi.
So
we'll
is
talk
Nancy
about that, I'm
Pelosi.
Sure, in a little bit. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What I actually wrote is McConnell continues to hold things up, and Dems seem to continue to capitulate on things. But yes, Nancy Pelosi is also holding.
Well, that's in their bylaws.
Up.
That's what the DNC's mission statement is, to capitulate until the
end
of time.
That is just how it's done. It's how it's always been done. And if you don't like it, you can leave.
Side note, completely related. Biden plans on having a position for specifically Republican outreach.
I saw that from you, probably.
Probably.
Anyway, it's confusing what's happening, and that's understandable. We're going to try to break it down here. There are two plans being floated. One is a bipartisan plan. I guess they're going to be releasing a more detailed outline of this bill and its specifics on state and local aid. I'm sure it'll come out the minute we're done recording, but we have enough information to go over the broad strokes. This is from USA Today. Quote, last week, a bipartisan group of lawmakers released a $908 billion aid proposal, which attracted the support of leading Democrats like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and some Republicans. It would provide temporary unemployment relief, along with aid for businesses and state and local governments. The measure also includes funding for small businesses, school, healthcare, transit authorities, and student loans. You will notice that that quote does not mention direct payments to American households. That's because direct payments, the thing that Americans desperately need, especially if the government expects people to stay home to curb COVID, those are not on the table. They're not on the table in either of the plans. And I'd already prepped all of this stuff when I saw a report from Washington Post this afternoon that the White House is, I guess, asking Republican senators to also include an additional direct payment of $600 to some Americans, which is something more than what they had planned, but also pretty insulting.
$1,800 a year? That's pretty good.
That's twice the average American salary,
right.
I assume.
One has to assume, because otherwise it'd be depressing as fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. I get paid in Mitch McConnell's healthcare, so I'm not,
so
I'm
glad you said healthcare instead of what you were.
Oh my God, boys!
The spider webs. That
yeah,
he
his webs. Exactly. Yes. We're all.
When you say spider webs, is that what comes out of his penis?
That's
okay.
Right,
can you imagine a world in which Mitch McConnell does not ejaculate spider webs?
No, I don't. It could just be like puffs of dust.
Yeah. Yes, it's puffs.
No, I think spider webs, because dust is too clean. It's definitely spider webs.
You're right.
I'm gonna
dirt
puff.
Is too clean.
Because his testicles are just giant arachnid eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is happening?
Ready to hatch.
Can we?
When
I'm gonna.
Pisses,
I'm gonna get
black
this back.
Widows come boiling out.
It's called science, Sophie.
Hey, boys, shut the fuck up, Katie.
It's called
speaking.
Science.
Shut up, go, Katie.
It's called science. Oh
my God. I mean, I've enjoyed this. This is news. Also, what's interesting is that even though neither of these plans include direct payments, as of yet, unless the president holds sway, so many people are saying, even Democrats and Republicans are saying, yeah, you know, we really should be having direct payments. We do know that that's what most people want. And yet,
everyone knows.
Everybody knows. Anyway, who knows? Back to the bipartisan proposal. Under their plan, the temporary unemployment relief is likely to be included. So you can hold out hope for that. But it's only going to be an additional $300.
Because things have gotten so much better since they gave us $600 a month.
Since they gave us $600. Yeah, that's...
Everyone's doing great now.
Here's another quote. The bipartisan proposal is expected to include about $300 per week in bonus federal unemployment payments for roughly 4 months, providing relief just as emergency aid payments at regular benefit levels are set to expire at year's end. That would be a lower amount than the $600 per week that jobless Americans had received under the CARES Act until late July. This plan is also expected to extend base benefits through March. And okay, so an important point I feel compelled to make here is that unemployment benefits differ wildly from state to state. In California, I'm pretty sure the max benefit is $600 a week, but that figure is very different for people in other states. You know, some people might only be receiving $200 a week, which is nothing. So for some people, the additional $300 unemployment might be enough to eke by, but for many, many, many others, it absolutely won't. And what's infuriating, I couldn't find the quote that I was looking for, but I don't know, maybe one of you guys saw this as well. Last week, Pelosi expressed satisfaction with this plan, despite the lack of direct payments, because a vaccine is coming, which just really, really bothers me. Because, yeah, it's coming, but it's not coming soon enough for most Americans to not be hit financially, to continue to be hit financially. It doesn't make up for the past 8 months of zero help from the government. It doesn't help people pay off the debt that they're accruing. It doesn't put food on the table. And yet this is somehow the good plan.
Yeah.
This is the good one. But don't worry, Mitch refuses to back it. So we're probably not going to get the good plan.
One of the things that's really frustrating is that in July, Senate Republicans offered $1.1 trillion, including $300 billion for stimulus checks to Americans and $110 billion in unemployment. In September, they raised the offer to $1.6 trillion. In October, they raised the offer to $1.8 trillion. And obviously, they were doing this because Trump believed that it would help him win the election, having his name on more checks. And it might have helped. I don't know if it
already helped.
But it seems like it did help him. There's evidence that it did help him. And Pelosi decided to play hardball and insisted on $2.2 trillion or nothing repeatedly as the Republicans increased their offers. And you can, to be honest, like, I definitely get, like, I was in terrified of the possibility of a second Trump term. And I still think that it's, I will say I'm not 100% certain that that was necessarily the worst possible thing to do. But also, I don't think it would have won him the election. And I think that the Democrats should have gone in on it. Like, where I've landed is they should have fucking taken $1.8 trillion and they should have made it clear what was happening. And they should have made demands about, like, how, like, whether or not the fucking president's name got to be out. Like, they had fucking options. And instead, Pelosi just, there were options. Like, obviously, him attempting to buy his way into a second term, there's danger there, would have led to additional deaths just based on what's happening. Like, I don't think the Democrats were wrong to want to fight him using coronavirus aid to get a second term, but they could have gotten that aid and mitigated its effects. They didn't.
Absolutely.
Pelosi just wanted nothing because I think she knew, she decided, and the people who backed her decided, that things looking as bad as possible for Trump economically heading into the election would guarantee them the election. And I guess where I'm at is that you're not wrong to not want Trump to, because a second Trump term would have been even worse than the Biden term is going to be. I am firm on that. You're not wrong to be worried about him taking advantage of this. But the real fact of the matter, and like the thing that is frustrating here, is that both of these sides, both the Republicans and the Democrats at the fucking congressional level, have been soulless ghouls playing with the lives of millions of people because it doesn't matter to them. Nancy Pelosi's worth like $130 million fucking dollars. None of these people are going to suffer the consequences of the high-level games they are playing. And Nancy Pelosi was not weighing letting the president get a fucking aid package on with, you know, the coming of fascism, because she doesn't care about the coming of a fucking fascist state. She was weighing it against her political career and like how much she could fundraise off of it and how much it would help her winning. Like, there's a reason the fucking she's presiding over the smallest House majority in a fucking generation now. It's because people have seen through this game. And it's one of those things. I am not on the same side as a lot of other anarchists who say there's no point in getting involved in electoralism because of how fucking scummy they all are. And because at the end of the day, they're all playing for the same side, which is the side of this like hellish state. But they're not wrong to hate all these people as much as they hate the other people, because they're all fucking trash. And Nancy Pelosi is fucking trash.
I mean, you're right. I totally understand the desire to do whatever you can to kneecap Trump's reelection. I get that politically, but what you're doing is choosing politics over people's actual lives. And
yeah,
I do believe that we could have won without that. You know, I believe that contributes to the loss of seats that we saw this time around this election.
Yep.
And it's all frustrating.
And if in October they could have taken the $1.8 trillion offer and say, see, we got $700 billion additional dollars for you.
For you, we did it. We did it.
We're the Democratic Party. And they would have been right.
They're incapable of like actually doing politics.
But now what we're dealing with is, okay, so the bipartisan plan,
$908
billion. But the other plan that Mitch McConnell is pushing for is only $500 billion.
Yeah.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has proposed a separate, smaller $500 billion deal that focuses on helping businesses stay afloat while limiting their legal exposure to coronavirus-related lawsuits.
Yeah, and it's fucking, it's so fucking gross.
It's gross.
Because Romney, like you were just talking about, there were a group of kind of more moderate Republicans and Dems who got together to try to work out a plan that could like keep people on their fucking toes for the time being. Romney was a part of it. And one of the things like, and that's the 900 something billion dollar offer. And one of the things Romney was insisted upon is that indemnity for companies if they force their employees to get the coronavirus, basically. Like they're all, and Romney is, I don't feel any reservation saying, one of the best moral most moral Republicans in government. And he's willing to play games with people starving on the street in order to make sure that corporations are immune to the consequences of risking their employees' lives. Yeah,
corpo people.
Yeah,
so ghoulish
for people.
It's really what's holding things up right now. Just 100% legal protections for businesses against employees, shielding them from liability for forcing people to work under dangerous conditions. You know, regardless of their health status, their pre-existing conditions, their home life, whatever they need, it's believably unbelievable. And as for the bipartisan bill, they are attempting to compromise on this sticking point by including a provision that there would be a temporary reprieve for companies from coronavirus-related lawsuits, which I guess is better than what Mitch wants. However, it's still shocking that on any level, workers' rights are being trampled on here. You know, a temporary reprieve will still allow employers to ignore the pandemic and force people to go to work, regardless of the cases, regardless of their health. And I can't wrap my mind.
You know, they're having
this.
Music festivals in Australia already.
Yes, they are.
You know why? Because their government, which sucks, met the minimum competence threshold.
It's just
they did a good job.
We're going to talk more about that soon.
There's a thing I want to read on the fuck Nancy Pelosi train, because we've rightfully focused mostly on the Republicans and how awful they are this year, although I do think we've done our due diligence in talking about the crapulence of Joseph Robinette Biden. Mm. But I really want to, because like Mitch McConnell, M-Money, M-Bomb, whatever nickname I made up for him. He's like horrible, violent trash. But Pelosi's just as bad, really, in a lot of ways. And there's a fucking quote from a Politico article on the spending deal that I think really sums it up. And this was from just a couple of days ago. Hurdles remain. Government funding runs out in just 1 week, and there is still are still a sizable number of issues impeding on an agreement about a massive spending package that would increase agency budgets for the rest of the fiscal year. The sheer number of outstanding items at such a late stage makes it increasingly likely that the congressional negotiators will require a brief stopgap spending bill to complete their work before leaving for the holidays. Such a decision could be made early next week if lawmakers fail to make significant progress over the weekend. Pelosi demurred when asked about the possibility of a short-term stopgap to buy more time for talks, and dismissed the need for a longer-term continuing resolution that would extend current government funding into next year. "We will take the time that we need," Pelosi said, while acknowledging that a number of issues remain, including some outside of appropriators' jurisdictions. "Don't worry about a date," she added.
I hate her.
She talks like that all the time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
People are going to be in the street in a pandemic, you soulless fucking hag.
She constantly talks like, "Don't worry about it. Stop asking me questions. I know what I'm doing. It was not a mistake." It's so frustrating.
But congratulations to Nancy on retaining her position as speaker.
Nancy Without Pelosi, contest. In addition to what she spends on like property taxes for the multiple homes and mansions she lives, Nancy Pelosi could spend $1 million a year on just ice cream for the rest of her life and die worth tens of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Jenny's is a delicious brand of ice cream.
It's not bad ice cream. Like nobody's saying she has bad taste.
Ice cream's not bad. No ice cream is bad.
Ice cream is delicious. Nancy sucks. On that note, we have to take a break for advertisements. Today's episode brought to you by Spider Cum ice cream.
When you have lost your soul and can no longer ejaculate normal semen.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we are back
from outer space.
Something
you just walked in to find us here. With that said, look upon our faces.
Nailed it.
You can see because those... this is a visual medium.
Okay. I don't know.
The visual medium of podcasts.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Cody.
Thank you, Katie.
How's it going?
You're welcome. Cody, you wanted to talk a little bit about other countries and how they've responded to the novel coronavirus?
Yeah. Better than us.
No
End
shit.
Of segment. Yeah,
have to vamp a little more than that.
I'll vamp a little more. I mean, like Robert mentioned, Australia's doing great. They're partying. There are a lot of nations that did better, and we failed. We're failures. We're number one in failing. We did such a bad job. We're number one. We rule. Just in looking at sort of the responses, I'm going to focus less on like the relief packages because it's sort of hard to quantify the usefulness of each package. I could go through like, okay, this nation did this amount for unemployment every week, or this did this. But a common thread when you look at all these countries that have very low number of deaths, very few cases, the common thread is that they have way better social safety nets than we do. They have a good healthcare system. They have universal healthcare. They have universal paid leave.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, you may.
Tying it back to my adventure in health insurance research and just thinking about all of this talk about how we're just protecting businesses, you know, which is good. We should protect businesses. Wouldn't universal healthcare be better for businesses like that people
so they do
don't
not
have
to provide that? Yes.
Yeah.
Better for businesses and also better for people so that their health is not tied to their particular employer. It's a grotesque system that it's weird that anybody would defend it if they are not paid to do so. That's grotesque for a different reason, but
anyway,
I disagree, Cody. I think people need to pull themselves up from their bootstraps and really just get down on Mitch McConnell. You know,
this, if we all yeah, did I was gonna, that, I was gonna say this sounds like spider cum talk.
Yeah,
You've been drinking that spider cum again, haven't you?
I have to mention every single time anybody mentions bootstraps, the phrase "pick yourself up by your bootstraps" was invented to point out how stupid that idea is.
Yes, yeah.
And it if was you co-opted, actually do co-opted, that, you'd fall over.
Yeah, and then, it's impossible. And it's impossible to do.
Right-wing YouTubers made videos pulling themselves up by their bootstraps to try to prove that it was possible, because it is, again, impossible to tell comedy anymore. There's no such thing as jokes anymore.
No. Satire is dead. Parody is dead. Oh, yeah. We're all doomed.
Laughter
in a funny
itself
way.
Has died. Yeah.
Laughing all the way to the bank in hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a huge part of this is that most of these nations have some sense of security for people who are already down on their luck, despite like a crisis, a massive crisis like this. Better unemployment benefits, again, paid leave.
Yeah, my friends in Germany who are artists and musicians are getting several thousand dollars a month from the government to just exist while there's a pandemic that makes their jobs impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, my friends in the United States that are in the live events and music industry are terrified and out of work completely.
I mean, what did I send you, Cody? Canada. AOC was tweeting a few days ago about how Canada did $2,000
a month.
Oh,
yeah, $2,000.
Monthly.
Yeah. Yeah, because some countries want there to be a society.
Germany, up to 67% of net wages, up to a maximum of the equivalent of 7,326 United States dollars.
Oh, my God.
Like, every single nation has some variety of this.
And, like, there's a lot of great criticisms of the Canadian and the German governments, but the people in charge in both of them at least want there to be a society. That's the thing. Like, Republicans and a lot of Democrats don't care about there being a society in any way, shape, or form. They don't, because, like, it's not fucking profitable for them personally. And I just, I don't like to, I talk a lot about how I don't think it's productive to talk super much about guillotines, but I get wanting to string these people up in the public square and punish them physically. It's not that they don't deserve it. It's that it leads to worse things for people who don't deserve it when you start doing that generally. And that's all I'll say.
That's a whole other thing.
I really wasn't sure what weapon you were going to choose there, but guillotine.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, for example, like the guillotine's actually very problematic because the French government used it on a lot of black people in their overseas colonies and just generally non-white people in their overseas colonies to clamp down on resistance. Because actually the history, like the way that it tends to work out is when you start violently taking revenge on the people who do deserve it. Within a few months, you're violently taking revenge on people who don't deserve it. And that's just the way it is.
That's why we don't talk about guillotines too much.
No, it's not. But I get the impulse because you read something like Nancy Pelosi saying, "Don't worry about a date," and you're like, "Well, fuck yeah."
Well, what do you want from us?
What do you want me to think about Nancy?
How people are trading on water futures?
Yeah.
Well, then fucking die in the street, fucks. Like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you expect? It's why all these rich fucks are investing in their bunkers. It's why they're bunkering down, because they know they don't have
much
time.
They know. Anyway,
you can go through each of these governments' stimulus. Also, it's weird. I find it, a lot of the language behind this is frustrating. I keep seeing like Joe Biden's like, people aren't asking for handouts, they're asking for help. Handouts are fine. Even calling it like a stimulus check. It's not a stimulus check. It's like fucking survival.
And it's also, if you want to fucking look at it like a capitalist, it's giving people dividends for the country that they built.
Right, exactly. Well, that's the other thing, right? It's not a handout. It's like, it's giving us the money back. It's our money. Give it back to us.
It's keeping the economy going if you want to look at it like that, too.
Fucking people in Germany and Canada who are responsible for making sure that the people are getting money during this period, they're not fucking communists. They're all capitalists too, or at least most of them are. They just, again, want to live in a society.
But again, that's like America is just uniquely unfit and unequipped to handle this, because any sense of that, any payment like that is going to be seen as just commie shit, right? It's why Trump sends an email every day.
To a corporation. Yeah. If it's to a corporation.
Well, that's helping. That's welfare,
it's helping.
I guess. General welfare.
It's because the average conservative in the United States gets more physically enraged at the thought of a poor black family being given a month's rent by the government than they do at the thought of everything that happened in fucking with Enron.
Right.
Like all of the fucking Enron executives who were like blatantly committing crimes in order to manipulate the energy market that caused rolling blackouts that got people killed. That makes them less angry than a single black family getting $700 from the government to pay their rent for 1 month. Like that's how it is actually.
Remember anyway, when we pumped more than $1 trillion to like bump up the market for like a fucking day?
Yeah, we sure did. None of them got angry about that.
Nobody cared about that. That was back in March, by the way.
Wow.
We could have given people fucking money. So that's another thing, actually. So speaking of March, the month, so aside from the fact that a lot of these places already have systems in place to deal with things like that and to ease people's struggle. Aside from that, a common thread with many of these nations, Australia included, is that they reacted early to what was going on. Instead of like, let's say a president like doesn't want to make people panic, so he like downplays it for months and months and months and says that like masks don't matter and it's all like virtue signal bullshit. And that, you know, maybe it's like the China hoax or something or whatever it is. Imagine a nation like that. They're not going to do a good job. But all of these places either lock down early, requiring like temperature checks in not even in places where they didn't like completely lock down, requiring temp checks in public places that you go into. If you're going into a store, you get your temperature checked. Massive testing and tracing programs, all of these things that you would want to do up top in order to be fucking Australia and party at the end of the year. So it's just like things like that is just very frustrating to see, because it is a lot of it is aside from American culture and like how we're set up and all of our welfare systems and things like that. I don't want to be like Orange Man bad, but he did not fucking help at all. He seems really bad. And creating this anti-science, anti-like expert sort of atmosphere where half the country just doesn't necessarily believe it's a big deal. And then you're going to get, even during lockdowns, you're going to get people who aren't really participating in the social distancing or anything like that, which again, Australia and a lot of these places, they just did it. It wasn't a partisan thing. It's not like if you're a Democrat, you do it. If you're a Republican, you don't. It's just like, we all agree. We're a nation of people. We live in a society and we're going to do this for a few weeks or however long. And then we're going to be able to party like it's 2021. And they just did it. It's a minimal sacrifice that again, these governments actually help people make. You ask for the sacrifice and you say, and also we'll pay you to stay home. We'll help you with this. We'll cancel evictions. You cannot lose your home in this during this time and things like that. And there's so many things we could have done months and months and months ago that would have gotten us not record numbers every single day.
The fucking infuriating thing is that doing the right thing would have benefited the capital holding class more than the present status quo too. Everyone would be better off, including rich people.
Absolutely.
Because it's not, at the end of the day, this is not, and I think this is something that there is somewhat of a misconception about, this is not the fucking corporate oligarchs making like cold, soulless decisions about their own financial benefit over, you know, poor people's lives. This is more than anything about the revulsion a huge chunk of the American populace feels about people getting quote unquote handouts. Mm-hmm. That's most of it. Mm-hmm. Because again, the same kind of asshole oligarchs are in Germany and Canada and run Germany and Canada. They're just not.
Australia's government sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. Australia, it's so fucking racist. Awful. They're just all way more reasonable. They're not completely out of touch with the basic facts of reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know. I mean, has anybody seen anything to the effect of, like, if support for some of these programs for Medicare for All, et cetera, has changed? I mean, I already know that it was popular with the majority of Americans, but has that number even shifted further? I'm curious to see how that.
I don't have that in front of me.
Nationwide, something like 30 to 35% of Americans are on the verge of not being able to afford to stay in their homes right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Even like, I mean,
yeah, it's pretty good. It's cool.
It's miserable. Even like 2/3 of adults in America wouldn't go to the doctor with coronavirus symptoms because of the out-of-pocket costs.
Yes.
That are involved
again,
in this.
Again, looking at these healthcare plans, none of them are affordable. The affordable ones, doing your doctor exam, you're paying $100 or something like that just for a routine.
Yeah, I mean, talking to anybody like anywhere else, be like, oh yeah, my health insurance. Then like you have to describe like, okay, well you pay a premium every month and that's very high. And then when you go in, you have to pay a copay, and that's another thing you have to pay. And then you also have to meet this deductible, which is also very, very, very high. It's a series
of we cap it at $6,000 that we'll pay for your hospital visit, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not like that, because that's famously the max that medical care can cost anyone is $6,000.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Then we're tell that to me.
Smooth sailing.
2010, anyway. Woof, guys.
And on that note.
Yeah.
Katie,
is it time for an ad?
It might be time for that.
It feels like it's time for an ad, because Sophie said on that note. Yeah. I think
let's
take a break for an ad.
Break, we got, use promo code. Ah!
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Did you use the promo code, folks? Did it work? Did you get your discount?
Well, how do you spell
exclamation point.
Yeah, it's in the dictionary, Katie.
I'm sorry.
Look it up.
I'm bad at spelling, okay? Don't shame me for that.
I won't.
Shame me for other things.
You can also email Mitch McConnell with promo code spider semen and get healthcare.
Oh my God, I would just love it if some of you did.
Yeah.
Robert,
he's got an email.
He does. It's mitch.mcconnell@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Robert, let's hear what you got.
Okay. So, y'all heard of a fella named Lin Wood?
Now, did he write that musical about the president? Stuff.
Linwood Miranda? Is that who you're talking about?
What? Oh, no. This is different. Okay. Whoops.
No. Is there a musical about the president, the current
president? The Hamilton guy. Hamilton guy.
Oh, yes.
The guy that wasn't president, but wanted
the guy who wrote that musical about Hamilton, where he made Hamilton and the other founding fathers black, and then a couple of years later, evidence surfaced that Alexander Hamilton sold slaves.
Yeah, that one.
Good stuff.
The guy that wrote the musical and then put himself in it in the lead role.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, that's fine. Whatever. If I'm writing a musical, I'm going to put myself in the musical.
The balls,
I would
though.
That. I would watch
anyway,
that.
Anyway, that's a whole other podcast.
Spider come in the musical.
Lin
it's
Woods,
about a forbidden love affair between the grave digger of democracy and a journalist who talks way too much about semen.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte's come. Is what they
call. Oh, God.
Yeah. Look. All right. Okay.
All right. All right, boys. All right. This has been really fun. I can see Sophie's over it.
Yeah. Lana, probably our record for talking about cum in an episode. Speaking of cum, President Donald Trump is coming to Georgia. He's coming to Georgia in order to try and drum up support for Republicans David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, who are both in runoff elections. Now, actually, shockingly, a lot of people who are, you know, Georgia Republican Party bigwigs and even supporters of Perdue and Loeffler are deeply worried about the president's visit to Georgia because they're frightened that he's just going to talk about how the election was stolen.
Yeah.
And because a number of the president's backers, chiefly Sidney Powell and Lin Wood, who are both lawyers of the president, have been advocating in like massive public speeches that people not vote at all or write in Trump's name.
I fucking love
in these
that.
Local elections,
beautiful.
Which
Do
has
it.
Caused a massive problem.
Do it. Do
now,
it. Do it.
On December 1st, Lynn Wood, who's the president's lawyer, and we're going to talk about Lynn Wood's history because he's actually a fascinating dude. Lynn Wood tweeted, "Good morning. Our country is headed to civil war, a war created by third-party bad actors for their benefit, not for we the people. Communist China is leading the nefarious efforts to take away our freedoms. The real Donald Trump should declare martial law." And then he quote tweeted a press release from the We the People convention, which I was not consulted for, and I do consider myself one of the people. Are you both people? Is everyone
Yeah,
both
I
people?
Thought...
The last
maybe,
I checked.
Maybe it might have gone to my spam. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I'm getting kicked off my health insurance, so maybe I'm not a people anymore.
You do have to have health insurance to be a people. That is one of the rules.
Yeah, I think that that's true.
So, and I'm going to read from the press release that the We the People convention put out. I'm going to read quite a bit of it. You can stop me where you want to discuss this. And then after this, we'll talk about Lynn Wood some, because this is fun.
Fun game.
Today, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. It looks stupid. President of the Tea Party, affiliated We the People Convention, and executive director of the Portage County Tea Party, published a full-page ad in the Washington Times newspaper. Strong words calling Washington Times a newspaper. Demanding that President Trump invoke limited martial law in order to allow the U.S. military to oversee a new free and fair federal election if legislators, courts, and the Congress do not follow the Constitution.
Come Zawatowski, on!
I said his last name was dumb. Zawatowski. Stupid last name. I hate it. Zawatowski said, "We wanted to express our concerns to the president, to the legislators, courts, and Congress that we the people will not cede our exclusive constitutional right to elect our representatives to judges, lawyers, courts, governors, secretaries of state, Congress, corrupt election officials, and local politicians, the corrupt media, or leftist threats of violence. It is our exclusive right, all caps, to elect the president, and that sacred right has been infringed by the massive planned illegal election fraud conducted by corrupt Democrat, / Socialist Party operatives. Across our nation to steal our vote. We will not stand for it." I do think it's fun that they talk about it being their exclusive right to elect the president when it's like, actually, none of us have a right to elect the president. We get to vote for
not.
Electors.
We vote
That's
for the electors who
the
actually
system.
Do
yeah.
it. Like, yeah, yeah.
But also the fact that it's there, they're clearly saying we conservatives have the exclusive
the
right
exclusive
to elect the president.
Right. Yeah.
That is what they're saying. The ad compares the extraordinary executive and also extraordinary and executive, both the E's in both are capitalized. Weird capitalization choices in general. The ad compares the extraordinary executive actions implemented by President Abraham Lincoln in his efforts to save the Union during the Civil War and the literal civil war that is dividing our nation today. So now they're saying it's a literal civil
war.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah.
Okay.
"Without full confidence that our courts or Congress will indeed follow the 12th Amendment of the Constitution and defend our electoral process, the ad calls upon President Trump, like Lincoln, to exercise the extraordinary powers of his office and declare limited martial law to temporarily suspend the Constitution and civilian control of these federal elections in order to have the military implement a national revote that reflects the true will of the people. Federal candidates only, paper ballots, no computers, hand counted with both parties watching every vote, only registered voters, photo ID to prove residence, conducted safely with everyone wearing masks and 6 feet apart, just like we did in Ohio." I guess that last sentence is nice.
Slip that in, yeah. It's nice. Yeah. give a little treat for the reasonable people.
Yeah, for the people who aren't completely on the fucking moon right now. Yeah, I love it that like these people are not abiding by the Constitution, so we have to suspend the Constitution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Partial martial law.
Partial law.
Partial.
Martial law.
Partial.
Yeah. On June 12, 1863, Lincoln defended his extreme measures in a letter published in the New York Times, citing Article 1 of the Constitution.
Just like
he
the
argued,
Washington Times.
He argued, "Ours is a case of rebellion, in fact, a clear, flagrant, and gigantic case of rebellion, and the provision of the Constitution that the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended, unless when, in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it, is the provision which specifically applies to our present case." Lincoln used the same reasoning in justifying a series of extraordinary presidential orders. And now we have a bullet-pointed list. Lincoln ordered hundreds of northern newspapers that spoke against him to be shut down and their owners and editors arrested. Lincoln ordered the arrest of Ohio Congressman Clement Vallandigham for the crime of speaking out against him. Chief Justice of the U.S. Roger Taney ruled that Lincoln had violated the U.S. Constitution when he illegally suspended the writ of habeas corpus. After hearing this, Lincoln signed an arrest warrant to have the Chief Justice of the U.S. arrested. Lincoln ordered the arrest of thousands in Maryland for the crime of suspected Southern sympathies, including ordering the arrest of U.S. Congressman Henry May from Maryland. These people were arrested and held in military prisons without trial, some of them for years. This is what they're advocating be done today.
So wait, which, are we saying... Abe was a fascist? What's happening here?
He kind of was, absolutely. I have long been of the opinion that both Abraham Lincoln was on the right side because of how horrible the South slave empire was, and that it's good he got shot.
Yeah, you know, I've known...
You shouldn't get away with that stuff without getting shot,
He certainly isn't the hero that American history would like us to see him
probably,
as. But
probably the hero we deserve.
This isn't making the case that he wants it to make.
He wants. No. Doesn't specify which Supreme Court justice he wants to.
I think they would just want all of them. All of them. Okay. I mean, today the Supreme Court refused to halt the certification of the election in Pennsylvania.
No dissent. No dissenters.
No dissent. Not a single one of them. Not even the Moon Lady dissented.
Nope.
So anyway. We have well-funded, armed, and trained Marxists in all caps, Antifa and BLM, strategically positioned in our major cities, acting openly with violence to silence opposition to their anti-American agenda, attacking federal buildings and police, cowardly punching innocent people in the back of the head, assaulting people just eating in restaurants, and burning minority-owned businesses to the ground. By the way, 2 days ago in the capital of Washington, Olympia, a right-wing protester shot a man across the chest with a handgun after hitting him in the face. For no reason. Wow. I'm just going to read one last thing, the last paragraph. Many will object to these actions, as they did in Lincoln's day, but we assure you that we the people understand that no less action will suffice than the loss of our constitutional right to vote and preserve our republic. It is time to honor your oath, Mr. President. It is time for you to boldly act to save our nation as Lincoln did. We the people will support a national revote. We also have no other choice but to take matters into our own hands and defend our rights on our own if you do not act within your powers to defend us. Kinda. Seems like a threat.
Yep.
Sure does.
So, Lynn Wood is a big backer of this. In the speech he gave like 4 days ago in Georgia, he not only told people that we are in a civil war and that it is time for Americans to like pick up arms, basically. But he also said to not vote because the election in Georgia, the congressional one, is going to be a fraud anyway.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
I just,
with half of
it. I can't express how much I hope they take that to heart.
Yeah, so do I. A source close to POTUS, according to Axios, said that the president has communicated both to Powell and Wood that he thinks they're fucking out of their minds and that Perdue and Loeffler need to be reelected. And that's why he's heading to Georgia in order to like tell voters to make the case that they need to vote for these people.
Reasonable stance from Donald Trump.
Yeah, it does seem like what's happening here is that this fucking like this dangerous, unhinged, violent fascist movement that they have been harnessing to pass tax breaks for the rich is getting out of their hands. And in the short term, yeah, it's fun. They might lose a couple of Senate elections because of this. But in the long term, someone will come along who's willing to fully use this, which continues to be my big worry, even as, you know, Trump leaves the stage. But that's all really a big bummer and a bigger topic today.
Let's
talk about Lynn Wood, because Lynn Wood's fascinating. Because listening to everything I've said about him so far and what he supports, you might think he's just a normal grifter like Giuliani, just another sleazy lawyer signing on to Donald Trump's team in order to make a buck. I don't know if I think that's what's going on with Lynn.
Yeah,
he's
what's going on?
A fascinating character. So first off, Lynn Wood, unlike a lot of these guys, grew up, had about as difficult an upbringing as you can imagine. He grew up dirt poor in Macon, Georgia, which is not a big town. It was a much smaller town when he was a little kid. Like very, very poor with a profoundly abusive father. When he was 16 years old, he returned home from his high school prom to find that his dad had beaten his mother to death. And his dad got 2 years in prison for that crime, which inspired Lynn to become a lawyer, which makes sense, right? He wound up becoming, over the course of his career, like the guy you hire in defamation cases. And he was not always or even necessarily super often in the wrong. His first really big national case was during the Olympic Park bombings in the mid-90s, when that guy like bombed the Olympics. They initially wrongly fingered a security guard, the FBI did, and like the news ran with it. And that guy was absolutely innocent and his life was fucking torpedoed by it. And Lynn Wood represented him in a defamation case and he was absolutely in the right.
Good for him.
Wood has gone on to have a really weirdly mixed record of representing people. For example, he represented the Stoneman kid in that, like, you remember that thing that happened like 2 years ago when those
Sandman.
Kids showed up? Yeah.
Nicholas Sandman, the RNC star.
Oh God, Sandman.
He successfully represented Sandman. He successfully represented Mark and Patricia McCloskey. He also unsuccessfully represented the that heroic diver that fucking Tesla dude called a pedo guy.
Yeah.
So he has a weird, and he's represented a lot of other people. He represented the brother of JonBenet Ramsey for defamation cases.
Okay.
Like, again, he's not always
Herman
wrong.
Herman Cain.
But also defamation.
Yeah, Herman Cain. Defamation. He's also advised Congress's first QAnon adherent, Georgia Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene. And kind of when you look at this guy, because he was not out of his mind all of his life, it seems like something has happened to him in the last couple of years that has, like, damaged him.
You think
him
it's
for
money?
No, I think it's QAnon. He has Where We Go One, We Go All on his Twitter account.
Okay.
Which is massive.
Wow.
I mean,
he's working and one of the things that makes me think that actually this might be the case of a guy who was once broadly speaking reasonable, like kind of losing it. I'm actually going to quote now from a Politico article on him. According to a lawsuit filed in August by three lawyers who worked with him, Wood in late 2019 began acting erratically, making abusive, incoherent phone calls, voicemails, texts, and emails. All of these erratic communications have a few things in common. Most of these emails profess that God or the Almighty was commanding his actions. Many were stating his refusal to pay the plaintiffs one thin dime, and virtually all were abusive. The lawsuit alleges Woods' behavior continued to deteriorate, including assault and battery on two of them, although, quote, there was essentially no reason whatsoever for the attack, and defendant Wood later acknowledged and apologized for this violence.
2019,
and he's later,
you
like,
say?
Said that this is a shakedown. Yeah, 2019.
That would line up well with your QAnon.
Yeah, it seems like a mix of QAnon. Also, he's an older man. Sometimes people have, like, small strokes in their old age, and it causes personality shifts. It can cause rape. It happened to my grandma. It can cause like fits of rage and stuff. It can make people, I don't know, but like, it does sound like he had a significant and notably bizarre personality shift, because like one of the things that's going on right now is because of how like Breitbart is obviously on the side of people should vote for Republicans in this congressional election. So they just published a hit piece on Lynn Wood where they point out that through most of his life, he's donated heavily to Democrats, including Barack Obama.
But how does that also help?
Because they're making the case that he's a secret Democratic operative trying to stop the Republicans from winning by telling Republicans not to vote. Like that's the Breitbart
so
line.
So convoluted.
It's very strange. When I look at this, I think this might be a guy who's a combination of kind of sick, getting ill in his old age, and also has been fucking hardcore pilled by the internet and has, because he's an older guy, no real sort of like built-in immunity to internet disinformation. Obviously, a bunch of different things are happening here, but Wood does strike me as a kind of a different figure than like just a grifter like Giuliani. Something very weird is happening with this guy.
Yeah, Giuliani's like an acceleration of Giuliani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This seems like a bit of a turn for Lynn Wood. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like representing Sandman and Rittenhouse isn't a turn, but going hardcore QAnon and like,
I mean, the fact that We Go One, We Go All is in his bio.
Sorry,
he's got a parlor account. That's it.
No, yeah. But also this is just a hard pivot. This isn't a defamation case.
Yeah, it's bizarre what's happening with this.
Right,
guy.
This is like it's like defamation against America, I guess, is what he's fighting. Yeah, like, but like,
Well, and also, he's not like, Giuliani has never been a good lawyer. Like, never, he's never done the things that he's doing.
Like, he hasn't been, right? I mean, people say, I've seen people say he used to be kind of good. I don't believe that.
I certainly not at the kind of shit that he's been trying to do, like federal cases. Lynn Wood has a reputation that's backed up for being a way better lawyer than he's being right now.
I can't understand. Yeah. Anybody wanting to tie their name to what's happening, right. You know,
yeah,
like, in any capacity,
and to like make it worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, by all means, make it worse. But
baffling.
Make it worse by all means.
Yeah.
You, Lynn.
Yeah.
This is all very strange.
His middle name is Lincoln. That's what Lynn stands for.
Is Lynn? What's his first name then?
Lucian.
Lucian Lincoln.
Lucian Lincoln Wood Jr.
Yeah, he's a weird named guy, too. Yeah. Anyway, I started reading about this guy, and, like, he's fascinatingly strange.
Honestly.
And I don't know anything about him, but it does sound like some of his employees have also noted that, like, things have really changed for him in the last year or so.
Yeah.
Wild.
I bet there's, like, you'd be able to see it if you, like, really looked at, like, his tweets from, like, 2018 to now.
Like, when did it happen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for this deep dive, medium dive onto him.
Odd fellow. And pretty cool that urging people to take up arms as the result of an election not going that way has really going mainstream on the GOP.
Yeah, they're really leaning into it. It's very, very cool.
What did I see? Like, I don't know the number. I can't make it up. A shockingly small number of Republicans have...
Oh, yeah.
That Biden won.
Very few. I also don't want to just say three.
I think it was like 12, but.
But like, yeah. And like, just overwhelmingly, people just do not answer the question of whether or not Biden won.
I know that
why would they? Yeah. They're cowards.
I know that this phrase is so overused, but what a time to be alive.
What a time.
Oh, yeah.
Is this living, Katie?
Not quite dying, so I don't know. It is living in 2020. I guess that does it for us today.
Yeah.
Unless forever hold your peace.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say again, there's who knows, by tonight there's a decent chance the cops will rush the house and tear gas everybody and force the Kinneys out and maybe even fucking kill people. Like, who the fuck knows? It looks real ugly right now. But the family will need help one way or the other. The fight goes on. Please, help out if you've got it. I know now is fucking hard for everybody.
Yeah.
But,
we do what we can.
Every family we can keep from winding up.
That's right.
In the fucking street during a pandemic is a win.
Yeah.
Because the government's not going to help.
Mm-mm. Why would they? That's not their role. Their role is to...
Yeah. Their role is to do a slow clap that people interpret as a gesture of resistance, but the actual person who made it just meant it as a clap because she's a weird
goblin
person.
She was genuine. It was a genuine clap.
She's completely genuine. She is a goblin who does not understand human beings because she's worth $190 or whatever fucking million dollars and
but
has
she
no
does
soul.
Tore up that speech, ice cream.
Though. Tore up that speech.
She did tear up a piece of paper.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
you can
remember
check
that one congressman who went to fucking Jonestown in order to rescue people and got shot to death trying to physically save his constituents from a cult.
Yes,
yeah, that guy fucking ruled.
Bring him back.
Bring him back.
Yeah, he got murdered.
Bring him back.
You can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Instagram, on Twitter.
Yeah,
you'll find us there too. And that's fun.
Yep.
It is fun.
It is. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Hang 10.
Or 11. Fuck it. 12.
12. 15.
Mahalo.
27.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.